There are some very troubling rumors that President Trump and Bibi Netanyahu are not getting along, and Trump is seriously considering a two-state solution plan, which this has been looming for a long time now. The two-state solution tends to be seen through a political lens, but we need to take off those political lenses and consider what's happening. It's a man-made solution, a man-made plan, and it will not work. We need to intercede. We need to pray for Israel, because something huge is going to happen very, very soon.
Hey guys, I have a ISO Insight special today. This was prompted by the episode that was done with Brother Ricky Scapero, and I got a text message basically from a friend, Pastor Marcia Castillo. Welcome on today, Pastor Marcia.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
It's always wonderful to have Pastor Marcia on, and she has something to share that's very serious, but it was prompted by the ending, not just the ending, but the ending prayer of the episode of ISO Insights with Pastor Ricky Scapero. So we have something with a heavy heart, honestly, to talk about. And as you know, just a brief introduction for those that aren't familiar with Pastor Marcia, her and her husband, Eddie Castillo, are the vice presidents of ISO Español. So you can find them on ISO.org if you go to the Español side of the website. And they also are pastors of a church in Miami, and I believe it's ESYM Church. And they have been faithful ministers for many, many years, are wonderful people, educated in academia, and they've been a part of a lot of projects for God's kingdom that are academic and biblical. So I'd encourage you to check out their website and learn more about them. But I want to talk today with Pastor Marcia about something she brought up. So she asked me about this. It's about the nation of Israel. A warning she felt in her spirit. So I'm going to share real quick the screen before I throw the ball over to Pastor Marcia. I want to show you something that is a follow-up to the subject that Ricky Scapero and I talked about, which is Trump's relationship with Israel. I want to show some verses about God's blessing towards Israel, God's relationship with Israel. But Pastor Marcia is going to bring an angle up that a lot of evangelicals don't even talk about today, but that is absolutely biblical. We're going to follow up her word that she received from the Holy Spirit with verses that confirm this line of thinking as far as God and his spirit and his warnings to Israel in the Old Testament. So real quick, I want to share this article. So we've seen in the last few weeks rumors about Netanyahu and Trump having tensions. And these tensions, what we've heard is they're surrounding the Gaza situation, where Trump is wanting to be the head of a peace movement around the globe, but also there's some disagreements about Netanyahu pushing for war too much, him being a little bit overbearing and wanting to fight Iran, those kind of things. And this is the Times of Israel warning that there's tensions and disagreements in Netanyahu and Trump's relationship. So the question is, how should believers respond to this? And the reason believers are wary, and I'll put these verses in, is because of these different verses. Genesis 12:3, this is in the ESV. I will bless those who bless you, God speaking to Israel, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Numbers 24:9, he crouched, he lay down like a lion and like a lioness. Who will rouse him up? Blessed are those who bless you, and cursed are those who curse you. That's Balaam speaking over Israel. Zechariah 2:8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plundered you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Again, Isaiah 60:12. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. And then we have in Psalm 122, peace for Jerusalem, that God wants us to pray for Jerusalem's peace. And I've got more verses. I've got Joel 3:2 that talks about God rising up in judgment on behalf of his people. And Romans 11, where Paul, this is good, warns Christians not to be, Gentile Christians, not to be arrogant against the Jewish people because they were the first ones to receive covenant. So I mention all of that, and I take a little time to do that because Pastor Marcia, you've received a very heavy word. So please go on and share what you feel like God told you.
So I think maybe not, I don't know how people react when they hear the news about what's going on between Trump and Netanyahu. I follow everything he's doing. I follow everything that's going on with the president, with Israel. Obviously, we are always reading the scripture. We're praying. We know that we're in the end times, and the Lord has called us to be on guard, and the Lord has called us to be awake and be paying attention to everything that's going on around us. And so when I started seeing these, I don't want to say erratic moves on the president's behalf, just strange, because he has been, since his first term, a strong ally for Israel, a friend of Israel, a friend of Netanyahu. And so I started noticing the way that he's behaving. It caught my attention. I thought it was strange. It worried me. He went to the Middle East. He went to the Saudi Arabia. He went to Qatar. He met up with the president of Syria. I mean, all these moves to me were very strange. And so I had been praying. And on Mother's Day, the pastor asked me, Pastor Eddie asked me to preach at our church. And so I was preparing, you know, I was in the middle of the worship and, you know, just getting ready for my message. And the word of the Lord came and I sat down to read what he gave me. And this is what I shared. And I quote, there are some very troubling rumors that President Trump and Bibi Netanyahu are not getting along. And Trump is seriously considering a two-state solution plan, which this has been looming for a long time now. But we know that President Trump's trajectory is, if I speak it and I promise it, I'm going to make it happen. And so he's been involved with this for quite some time as well. And his trip to the Middle East, as I said before, I followed it very closely. He went to Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Israel, was nowhere near that trip, which, you know, I felt it was strange. And all these things really troubled my heart. And so the word of the Lord came that day on Mother's Day, Ezekiel 11, verses 10 through 12. It says, "You shall fall by the sword. I will judge you at the border of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Verse 11, "This city shall not be your cauldron, nor shall you be the meat in its midst." In other words, you're not going to see the war in the city itself. "I will judge you at the border of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes nor executed my judgments, but have done according to the customs of the Gentiles, which are all around you." Imagine my shock. It hurt to receive this word. And I asked the Lord, I said, "If you want me to speak this, you need to give me a confirmation." Because basically, the Lord is bringing a warning to Israel and saying, whatever is going on with the president and whatever is going on with Israel, it's me. I'm the one that's prompting all these moves. And if President Trump makes such a drastic move to enforce or to pursue the two-state solution, is because, and this is how I understood it, how I perceived the word of the Lord, that means that he's an instrument in the Lord's hands. He's being used to judge Israel because they have not been found faithful. And I can attest to that. Israel will be judged where? At the border. It's shocking. It's a painful word. Not what I want to hear. We love Israel, but at the same time, Israel is prideful. They do not want to find a peaceful solution. And we need to understand, Matthew, something very important. God's promises are conditional.
Yeah.
And we tend to forget this. Look at what Deuteronomy 26:19 says. It says, "And that he will set you high above all nations which he has made, in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. So the Lord is asking or expecting Israel to uphold his name, uphold his statutes, and uphold his word, and they have not done that. Mm-hmm. They have, how do I say this carefully? They have allowed other religions to come. They have allowed these religions to take part of the land that belongs not to Israel. The land belongs to the Lord for his purposes, so that he can fulfill his promises to a people, in this case, Israel. And that's not what's happened. And you and I know that the Lord is very upfront with us when he is upset. He will communicate to his children, to his prophets, when he's not happy about a situation. And so the two-state solution tends to be seen through a political lens. But like you and Ricky talked about, we need to take off those political lenses off and take a look at this and consider what's happening through the word of God. The two-state solution is not God's solution. It's a man-made solution, a man-made plan, and it will not work. It will create a bigger disaster. God made a covenant with Abraham, with a spiritual seed, not with the government of Israel. And so, for example, if we look at Revelation 11:8, it says, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So we as Christians love Israel.
Yeah.
We love God's people. But we also know, like you and I were talking before we started, the podcast, we also know that Israel does not behave honorably towards the Lord's plan of redemption, towards the Messiah, Jesus Christ, which is very clear in Scripture. We also understand that all of them, there's a big mess going on with Judaism in the sense that each rabbi teaches portions of Scripture as they see fit, and they make their own rules, and it's just a really difficult situation. So we find in this day and age that Israel is, the Lord is not happy with Israel. I can't put it any other way.
Yeah.
What do you say about that? What do you think of what I'm sharing?
You know, when I heard it, so this is something that my wife and I, Kayla and I, we've had discussions about what you're talking about. And I've said to her before, because we've been family involved with Hebraic Roots, which reads a lot of, it's basically, let's read the New Testament from the context that it was written in by Jewish apostles. And it was first for the Jews and then extended to the Gentiles. Like, for instance, I'll give you a little example. There's a little rabbit hole, a little rabbit trail I'm going down here.
Here we go.
I just talked to my wife yesterday about the early church, and I studied in college the separation of Judaism and Christianity. And the Roman Empire, early on, saw Christians as a weird, they just saw them as Jews, but an off branch of Jews. And they knew that certain Roman citizens that weren't born Jewish were joining this group that came out of Judaism, but it confused them. The reason I'm bringing that up is people need to understand the historical relationship that the Jewish religion, modern Judaism, has with Christianity, because a lot of people won't realize that love, we should love Jewish people, because our faith, just like Paul said, came from the Jewish people. It came from the covenant body of Israel that God established, but Israel rejected its Messiah. To this day, we pray for God to change this, but to this day, like Paul said, most Jewish people have a veil over their eyes where they have not seen the true Messiah. Now, there are Messianic Jewish ministries in Israel today, 100% Jewish. Some follow aspects of the law, some less so, but they all believe Jesus is the Messiah, and they're trying to preach that to Jewish people. So there's revival going on, and we support those because those are our brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. But along with that, there are ultra-Orthodox and Orthodox Jews that make laws against any conversion or Christians trying to convert Jews. You have to be Jewish. Yep. To approach another Jew and talk to them. You'll be taken to jail if you're a Christian and you come from another nation, if you try to do that. And there are messianic synagogues that believe in Jesus that the ultra-Orthodox, not Muslims, the ultra-Orthodox will burn down. I've actually been to one that was secret, a secret synagogue in Jerusalem. So I want people to understand that we can love the aspects of Judaism that are hinting at who God is and are rooted in the Bible, but a lot of Christians don't know. In the Talmud, there are curses against Jesus, Yeshua. There are verses that depict him as a false prophet. And because you have that, there are two streams. This is just like in the Bible, two different directions Israel can go. And what we're having now is Jesus, we're getting close to the time of Jesus' return, I think, is we have a nation that God has restored, Israel. But Israel, if it does not accept the Messiah, is not in the new covenant. It's not taking advantage of the grace of God. And the more it rejects Jesus, more so than that, if it's submitted to the law and they're not keeping the law says they're subject to the judgment of the law. Now, God said, we know from the prophets, anybody that studied Bible prophets knows, God said, once I put them back in the land, they're not going to be pushed out of the land again. Even when the Antichrist comes and he's given authority in Revelation, he doesn't completely drive the Jewish people out of their homeland like they've been in the past. But what does God do in the Bible? He allows them to lose. He allows them to lose land, to lose war, to start losing. He lifts his support from certain actions. And I think the question that the line that we're kind of writing right now is, where is Israel sinning? That's when I heard that word from you, that was what crossed my mind. If I can say specifically, what is it? Now, I'd love to throw this back to you. Here's what comes to my mind. There are three things in particular I can say. Before any of what's happening with Gaza and what's happening with Iran, which are the two things where there's possible sin, a potential for sin. The first thing is the debauchery among a lot of the Jewish people in Israel. In Tel Aviv, it's one of the leading LGBTQ cities in the world. Yep.
Yes.
Do Orthodox Jews preach in Jerusalem, the ones that live in Jerusalem, are they preaching heavily against Tel Aviv more than they're preaching against Islamic radicals and Christians? I don't think so.
No.
You don't know. The reason for that is because there's a sense where they're like, well, if you're a Jew, you're already, things are going to end up good for you because you're already one of God's chosen people. That's not what John the Baptist preached.
What a tough program.
Yeah.
And I feel in my heart, or what I discern from our conversation, is that the Lord is, it feels like the Lord is removing this covering that Israel has had for many years now. And he brings to my heart the scripture, I think it's in Ezekiel, where he is showing her nakedness, covered in blood, dirty. She became a harlot. I mean, it feels in my heart as if the Lord is removing this covering, this beautiful covering that they've had all these years, where Christians have fallen in love with Israel. And the Lord is saying to us right now, okay, you've been deceived by the rituals and the beauty. Let me show you what I see.
Wow.
And now he is letting us see what's underneath that beautiful covering, that veil, so to speak. with what you're saying. I'm writing it down because I think what the Lord is wanting us to do is pray for Israel.
Yeah.
They're in trouble, serious trouble.
Yeah. And if I can speak to what you're saying, you know, as we talk about this, I like to be free and honest with people. And there are so many different angles to this it's not for the sake of complexity that I say that or to sound smart or, but God is a judge and he sees things from all angles in a way we can't see things. We have to simplify it. But God is also, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, is able to see the simple version of it and share it with us. And Jesus, when he was among his own people, and they are his people. When he comes back, ladies and gentlemen, he will be the king of the Jews. He won't be the king of Rome or the Roman Catholic Church. Hey, if you don't like that and you're Catholic, I'm sorry, but the Bible says he will be the king of Israel. He will reign out of Jerusalem. And in Ezekiel, at the end, Ezekiel 40-48, shameless plug, go to Millennial Temple, check out the Millennial Temple course on ISO.org. But if you study what Ezekiel says in all the prophets of the Old Testament, when Jesus comes back as the Messiah to reign for 1,000 years, there's going to be a type of law that's returned to that's like the law of Moses. We're not demonizing the Old Testament. We're not demonizing that. But there are also the laws made up by the forefathers, the traditions of men. And Jesus said, a lot of people may not know this, rabbinical Judaism today is directly descends from the Pharisees who railed against Jesus. Did you know after this, I'm not saying to you, Pastor March, you probably know this, but to the listener, did you know after 70 AD, when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, there was a council called the Council of Jamnia? And it was where all the Jewish remnant that were left over, the Sadducees, who only believed in the Torah, didn't believe in the prophets or these oral tradition, they were gone. They were killed by the Romans because they all lived in Jerusalem. But the Pharisees that lived in the rural communities, they took over Judaism. And now they said, what are we going to do now the temple's gone? Well, we're going to make everything about our traditions and prayer and keeping these mitzvot. And that's the way we're going to please God, even though that's not what the law of Moses says. So they rejected the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's very plausible, and there's evidence of this. They deleted all kinds of traditions that were foretelling Jesus coming, that matched too closely with all the things Jesus did. There are traditions, if you search hard enough, that pre-exist the destruction of the Second Temple in Judaism, that are clearly what were God speaking through rabbis about what the Messiah would do when he came, like casting out demons. And they have wiped those from a lot of their tradition because they wanted to separate themselves from this Jesus figure that appeared in their midst. So what do we have today? It's the leftovers of rebellion, much of the Talmud. I hate to say that, but it's a lot of Pharisees who had a lot of disdain for Jesus and rejected him. And it's mixed with tradition that is from God, tradition that is God guiding the Jewish people. So you have beauty, but you also have rebellion against the Messiah. And that's kind of the mixture we're dealing with today. Pastor Marcia, is there anything you wanted to say to that?
I think we're at a critical point in history. And whenever the Lord brings discipline, it's for a good reason. If he loves you, he'll discipline you. Okay. Mm. And I believe that this word that the Lord is bringing to us at this time is for the purpose of intercession. We need to intercede. We need to pray for Israel, because something huge is going to happen very, very soon. And the Lord, he doesn't want anyone to perish. Listen, when God institutes the cycles of discipline that we find in Leviticus 26, boy, if you read that, it is scary stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. When he institutes a cycle of discipline, it's not because he wants to deal with this, like with us like this. He would prefer that we obey. Okay. But we always find rebellion much easier than obeying. And so we force him to institute this cycles of discipline all the time. This is not how he wants to deal with us. This is not how he wants to deal with his people. He loves Israel. Jacob, I love. He says it over and over. But we continue to rebel, and therefore we force him to bring these cycles of discipline. And I think what the Lord is trying to say with this word that he gave us, or that he gave me, he's trying to say, you need to pray.
Yeah.
Because judgment is coming, and judgment is going to come at the border. And wow. What is happening right now with the two-state solution? The border. And trust me when I say that is not the solution.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to bring peace. What's going to happen is that they will, at that point, will have the backup of the UN and all the nations of the world, and they're going to be in Israel's backyard.
Wow.
Legally. Yeah. In their yeah. backyard, and that's going to bring havoc to Israel. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get really ugly. If we think October 7th, 2023 was bad, buckle up, because it's going to get much, much worse.
I hope you're enjoying this podcast. I want to let you know about a great opportunity. So, International School of the Word, ISO School of Ministry, is an online learning platform, a school where you get affordable, accessible, based off of your schedule, teaching about the Word of God. It's very easy to log into, and we have something called the All Access Pass, which is a subscription-based model. For $99, you get access to everything we have to offer for that full month. I'm talking about over 100 hours of teaching. We're talking about Greek 101, Hebrew 101, Old Testament, New Testament survey. We're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about leading teachers such as Bill Cloud for Hebraic Roots, Perry Stone for Theology and Biblical Studies. I'm talking about Mark Biltz, who talks about, to this day, intriguing Hebraic mysteries of the Christian faith. So, if you want to take advantage of all we have, go ahead, get the All Access Pass for $99 a month. Let's get back to the interview. Because this is, I want clarity for everybody that's listening, because statements have been made. We've got courses taught at ISO before. And so I want to speak for myself on this. You know, we're obviously speaking from our own perspectives. Everybody's free to one as a believer. But
yeah.
Earlier I made the statement about where Israel could be sinning right now, three different ways.
Yes.
Mention the first one. So yep. Gaza, Hamas, those issues. I will say, from my perspective, I don't think it's morally wrong for Israel to track down the leaders of Hamas as a terrorist organization and exact justice, because they were over October 7th.
Yeah.
The great, and this is the hard part, because I know what I've heard people from Israel talk about this tense situation. A lot of the people of Gaza, the women and children, it's got a huge amount of young people overrepresented in its population. So very few older people, but the leadership in Hamas trains these children from birth to hate the Jewish people. So it makes it a very hard situation to reintegrate them as a society. And the leaders of Hamas used women and children as shields. So Israel's in a weird situation. But here's where I'll say, when it comes to that situation, God could be displeased. There are people, there are Jewish people in Israel who hate Arabs and think that they are lesser. And you can find this on YouTube. It's not hard to find these videos. The Bible says that God weighs the intention of the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God weighs the heart. So that is where Israel could sin. It's not an exacting justice, but it's in becoming hungry for blood because of this misguided vengeance and anger. And it, you know, it's revenge. You don't need to be fueled by revenge. You should be fueled by justice. We're not going to live with these people threatening us anymore. That makes sense. But beyond that, the third issue is with Iran. Now, this, I'm not the Lord, but so if I had the Lord right now speaking to me, I'm going by the best in this like socio-political world, the best understanding I have. But there's, if Netanyahu is pushing when there doesn't have to be a war with Iran, and is trying to require America, that's a good friend, has been a good friend to Israel, to get into a war when he knows America doesn't want to be in a war. And Netanyahu has a position of, God forbid, arrogance, where he thinks he can guide America to do what he wants, that's not a good attitude either. I don't think that's good. You can have a different opinion, Pastor Marcia, but I think when you talked about this word, this is something I've prayed over, and I feel that there's definitely a possibility that the leadership of Israel has some bad motivations, that there's some misguided motivations of trying to stir up trouble when there doesn't have to be trouble. Do you think that's accurate? You've probably watched this closer than I have. So you tell me your perspective on why the Lord would be displeased with Israel. Do you think it's primarily what's been happening with the sin of the people, like Tel Aviv and the moral sins? Or is it also the political sins? I kind of want to get your perspective, if God's given you any specifics on that.
I think it's a little bit of everything, and that's a really good point that you just brought up. Trump is not the type of individual that you can manipulate easily. He knows what he wants, and he executes all the time. You may not like him, you may not agree with him, but you know that if he promises something, he will make sure that it is done.
Yeah.
Okay. And he told the United States of America, he told the American people that he did not want to bring us into another war. It costs money, it costs lives. So his sight, he's not a politician. We all know that. He's a businessman.
Yeah.
His sight is on making America fruitful, making America rich, making America strong. And to go into another war with Iran of all nations, it's not in our best interest. Mm. And it is very possible that he's trying to appease Netanyahu, telling him, listen, there are other ways that we can achieve peace. There are other ways in which we can, go around this thing. And Netanyahu, they are prideful. They are prideful.
Mm.
They believe that they're all alone. They don't have any allies, and they need to do whatever it is to protect themselves. And I can understand that. And I am in no way minimizing what happened in October 7th, okay?
Yeah.
At all. I cried. I prayed. I was upset about the whole thing. But let's put all the cards on the table and take a look at this for what it is. Obviously, the Lord is displeased with Israel right now in the sense that they're not listening. They're not listening to him. Mm. They're not listening to their counselors. They're not listening to their allies, in this case, Trump. And I saw his visit to the Middle East as, this is how I interpreted that. I don't want to deal with you anymore. I got to do what I got to do. I got to do what's best for my people.
Wow.
And at that point, they were not included in any negotiations. They were not included in any of the visits. Trump visited the Abraham family house in, I believe it's in Qatar, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, for those of you that don't know what that is, it's a place that was erected with a synagogue, a mosque, and a church. And what they promote is a dialogue so that we can all understand, because we all come from Abraham's lineage according to them, right?
Yeah.
And Donald Trump visited that place. And for him to step into that place is like saying, there it is, I'm in agreement with this. We can find a solution. We can come to the table. Let's come to the table. I think that's one of his objectives when he spoke about Gaza becoming a Riviera.
Mm-hmm.
That blew me away. I'm like, what is this man doing? But yeah. For us Christians that walk with the Lord, guided by the Holy Spirit, we need to learn to interpret things and not just make harsh comments and say, oh, this is what's happening. This man is crazy. No, we need to interpret what's happening. And we also need to take into account, what is the Lord trying to do
yeah.
right now. And when I talked about earlier, as you were speaking, when I talked about the Lord removing that beautiful covering over Israel and for us to see who they are underneath that covering, I think we need to pay attention and be fearful and pray for Israel. Iran, Gaza, debauchering, definitely. They don't want to take a step back and say, how about we consult the Lord? How about we pray? Let's hear what he has to say. His way of bringing a solution might be, will definitely be different than their approach.
Wow.
And we must understand, when we talk about the ultra-Orthodox, for example, or the Orthodox in Israel, they spit if you say the name of Jesus Christ or the Messiah. They will spit on the ground and in your face if they're close enough. They are not honoring the Lord. They are not taking into consideration the one door. They may know a lot about the tabernacle, but they have not been able to interpret the one door on the tabernacle, the one door in the temple, the one door in Scripture. And who might that be? Christ, mm-hmm. the Messiah. And so we have a serious problem here. Yeah. We have a serious issue with that land and with the people of God, our beloved Israel, because I love Israel. Jerusalem, Yerushalayim is our inheritance. This is where Christ is going to reign. This is where we will reign with him. But Israel, wow, Israel has a tough road ahead of themselves. And I think what the Lord is doing right now is bringing awareness and bringing us or asking us to come to our knees.
Yeah.
And pray yeah. and pray some more. What do you think about that?
I agree. The reason this is such a concerning situation, at the end of the episode with Ricky, I said, you know, we need to pray that God would help America to treat Israel rightly. But I know that from the scriptures that say, you know, those who bless you, I will bless; those who curse you, I will curse. But we also know from the Old Testament, and this is where the word you receive from the Lord, I really felt like brought balance to the conversation, because I did have a check where I was saying, but Israel can make mistakes. And we said that in the episode, Israel can make mistakes. What's God going to do if Israel sins? Is America required to unconditionally support Israel with every decision the leadership makes?
No.
And here's the warning I give, though. In the Bible, like Judges 10:6 is an example, but Judges 10, you go through that. Throughout the Old Testament, God uses Gentile nations that are ungodly to judge Israel when it's disobeying, but then he will judge wicked nations for attacking Israel in wrath and for not giving him glory. Here's yeah. where America is in a very peculiar situation. We have a lot of Christians. Historically, we've been a Christian nation. We've also yeah. been a friend to Israel. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, we have a strange opportunity because we're not a pagan Gentile nation attacking Israel just because we want their land. We have a strange situation where we can avoid the potential pitfalls and still be a friend to Israel and try to bless them as much as we can. So I think we should pray that Trump doesn't divide up the land, because they'll be disobeying God. God said not to do that in his word. But Trump can say, I won't support you doing that. I will not give you a green light with that. It sounds like that's what he's doing with Netanyahu. Last I checked, he said, when they said to him, are you going? There's been rumors you're going to do a two-state solution. He said, listen, Netanyahu's in a tough situation. He says he's angry, and there's a good reason he's angry. So he's not publicly cutting himself off from Netanyahu, but it sounds like he's trying to bring him to the table and say, I'm not going to give you support for pursuing a war with Iran. I am not going to support you if you continue the Gaza war in the way you've been doing it. I don't have a confirmation on that, but we can be pretty confident about the Iran situation. Yep. So because Netanyahu has had this relationship with Israel. We should pray that God would help him not to be arrogant, but to not assume also that God's always going to be on his side with every decision he makes because Israel.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good.
Yeah, I'll hand it to you. What are your thoughts about that? And I'll show some verses in a little bit once you've shared your thoughts in reply, because I want people to see examples in the Old Testament where God warned Israel about judgment.
You know, I am so grateful that the Lord chose Donald Trump to be our president for these 4 years. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form idolizing him. He makes a lot of mistakes as well. Okay. He's not perfect. Let it be known. He's not our savior. Christ is our savior. But this is a man that has the character, the strength of character that is required for this day and age. This is the man that will not be manipulated. This is the man that will say, Netanyahu, Bibi, I love you. I've been your friend, but you are not going to manipulate me, and you are not going to get America involved in a war that can be averted by other means. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And this is how the Lord wants us to behave as Christians. I'm not going to compromise my position. I've been your friend. I love you, but I'm not going to walk to that table with you. I will not come to that table. And I love that. And I think because of Israel, because of its sin, because of her sin, the Lord is making it tough. Yeah. Israel needs to take a good look at herself and say, wait a minute. These people have been with us all along, and all of a sudden he's changing his position. Could we be doing something wrong? Let's take a look at ourselves before I have a tantrum and say, why won't you come and support me with this war? Why won't you come to war against Iran? What am I doing wrong? I think that's what we need. We need for Israel to look at herself and say, hey, maybe we're wrong here.
Yeah.
And leave her pride aside. And talking about how the Lord brings uses a Gentile nation to bring judgment to Israel, the perfect example is Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon.
Yeah.
And all the prophets, the false prophets, kept saying, that's not going to happen, even though they were burning incense, they were idol worshiping, they were involved in sexual transgressions, all kinds of terrible sins. They thought, hey, we're the seed of Abraham. We're good. No matter what we do, God is on our side. And the Lord said to Nebuchadnezzar, go and do away with everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can happen again.
Yes, it can. And just to give you a few verses, those that are listening, I'm going to show you in the law, in the Old Testament, what God said to Israel. It's going to be the law and the prophets. So Deuteronomy, in fact, I'll go ahead and do that. Deuteronomy 28, 15 and 45 through 46. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall be upon you and overtake you. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So that's really heavy. But let's move on and talk about, because a lot of those curses, some of those is being carried away from the land. We know now Israel's not, one of the punishments will not be them being carried from the land. But what do the prophets also say? Jeremiah 7, 13 through 15. And now because you have done all these things, declares the Lord, and when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen. And when I called you, you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house that is called by my name, in which you trust, and I will cast you out of my sight as I cast out all your kinsmen. I'll do one more verse, one more. And we don't want this to happen, by the way. We're not quoting this because we're praying it over Israel. This is what God said to Israel throughout the Old Testament, warnings he gave them when they weren't obeying his commands. Isaiah 1, 2 through 4 and 19 through 20. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared up and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So we share that. That's with a heavy heart. That's not me being happy about any of those scriptures. God's not happy about the rebellion of his people. So we know in ways, and I want to clarify here, because if there's a Jewish person listening, so for 2,000 years, we know there have been many times in history where Christians have said the Jewish people deserve to be kicked out of their house and have all of their things confiscated and be thrown out of our land. It happened all throughout Europe, multiple times in history. Mm-hmm. And they would say it's because they won't become Catholic or, you know, Christian. And they would persecute them. So we're not saying that. That's not what we're pushing today. We are not advocating for Jewish people to be persecuted because they don't accept Jesus as Messiah. But the hand of God, we're not calling for nations to attack Israel, but God may stop supporting and giving Israel victory, just as he did in his word, if he's displeased with Israel's reaction or the way that Israel, the leaders of Israel, are guiding it. So I want to encourage you, if you are Jewish or Israeli today, we do want you to believe in Yeshua as the Messiah. Look to Isaiah 53. Look to Psalm 22. There are so many passages you can find online that you probably never heard in your synagogue that tell you who the Messiah is, that prophesy how he would suffer, how he would die before bringing victory to the people of Israel and defeating unrighteousness in the world and bringing justice. He's coming back. He's going to do it.
Yeah.
But Jesus said in his word, Yeshua said, "I will not come back to Jerusalem until you say, the people of Israel, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So Israel needs to be prepared to receive their Messiah. So Pastor Marsha, with those verses, I want to throw it back to you so that you can pray over Israel, over America, over the decisions that are being made right now.
I'm glad that you clarified that we are not happy about this. I mean, when I received this word, I cried. I cried a lot. I had a heavy heart. I love Israel. Going to Jerusalem for me was like, wow. There's nothing that can, you know, supersede that. It is the Lord's land, his city. It is a beautiful place. And we love the Jewish people. But we also understand that there's danger because they don't recognize the door. They don't recognize Yeshua as their Messiah. And so that's the spiritual side of it. But then we come to the political arena and we see what's going on. And it's a really critical time for Israel and also for America. Like I said at the beginning, we need to remember that God's promises are conditional. And we forget that all the time. And what I want the audience to receive, I guess, with everything that we're sharing, is the great need for prayer, the great need for intercession. We need to intercede with understanding. We need to intercede from God's perspective. We normally, I had not been able to understand this whole conflict, and I was questioning Donald Trump's movements because I did not take into account the Lord's perspective. Mm. But once this word came forth, I said, oh my word, now I get it. I understand what's happening, and it helped me pray objectively and helped me pray not just for Israel and for America, but also for the Lord, his heart in all of this. This is his world. We are his people. This is his land. And so when we pray, I want to invite us to pray objectively from the Lord's perspective, because he has a heavy heart right now.
Yeah.
And I think we overlook his heart a lot of times. And so thank you for the opportunity to share this word, Matthew. Thank you for the opportunity to close in prayer. For this has been an incredible discussion, and I take a lot of things from what we shared today. And I'm going to pray about the three things that you talked about. I think it's important. But right now, let us come before the Lord in the name of Jesus and ask for mercy over Israel, and ask that you will bring forth bold people that will speak to Netanyahu, that will speak to the members of the Knesset, that will speak boldly, that would speak truth, that would speak saying, "Thou saith the Lord," not with false words, but with truth, letting them know the heart of God. The Lord has a heavy heart. The Lord is not pleased because they have ignored his commandments. They have ignored his heart, his perspective, his opinion. And when we do that, we disrespect him. And Father, I pray that you will raise people, true spirit-filled prophets that can reach the ear of Bibi Netanyahu, the Knesset, and all the advisors, Father God, all the people that surround the government of Israel and Donald Trump's as well. Not false prophets that would say, "Oh, God is pleased and he's with us, and if he is with us, who could be against us?" No. This is not the time for that. This is the time to have a heart of repentance, a humble heart before the Lord, and inquire of him, "What shall we do?" Like David did, "Lord, do I go up against my enemies?" He would wait on the Lord to say, "Yes, I will give you victory," or "No, stay put." And so we pray for divine counsel to reach Donald Trump, Bibi Netanyahu, and every single person that is around them, that inner circle that brings advice. May it be a godly advice from the Lord's perspective, that they inquire of the Lord, "What is your opinion? What do you say?" And in that way, we are giving you the honor and the respect that you have, Father, that we may take into account what you have to say, and may you allow Israel to repent of their sin, to repent of their wickedness, to repent of their stubbornness, and hear the word of the Lord. That is my prayer, together with my brothers and sisters that are listening to this program right now, Father. I pray that you would give us a humble heart before you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Yes, Lord. I pray also in closing, in agreement with Pastor Marsha's prayer. God, we want as Christians to always have a love and an affection for your people in Israel.
Yes,
but Lord, you also gave a warning in your word, and you said that there could be some stubbornness in the flesh that a lot of the leadership of Israel can have. You warned that in your scriptures. And God, we want stability for Israel.
Amen.
We want your guiding hand to be on them.
Yes.
We want them to be malleable in their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would even reach the ear of the leadership through many of the messianic believers that are there in Israel. God, that you would give positions of influence to Jewish believers in Israel so that they could even speak from their spirit prophetically, because your Holy Spirit's working through the church right now. And I pray that you would deter the leadership from Israel, just like Pastor Marcia said, from making mistakes, from displeasing you. I pray you'd open their eyes, that you'd even speak to leadership through dreams and visions, even God, that you would give them warnings of bad decisions. And God, I also pray that your hand would be over over Donald Trump, would be over the president and leadership of the U.S., that justice would happen in this nation, and that they would also be discerning to what the wise decision is before you, that they wouldn't do anything to retaliate against Israel out of frustration that contradicts your word, but does what you feel is the just and right thing, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, we're leaving you with that. Pastor Marcia, thank you so much for coming on.
Amen. Thank you for having me.
And you guys go and be blessed and continue to keep the situation in your prayers.